everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources and also Church Answers.
Yes, yes. Transitioning too.
Yes.
Sometimes we do very analytical podcasts. Sometimes we do a very serious podcast.
This is not that.
This one is not that, but it has a serious theme to it.
It does.
It's how many times pastors get criticized for the smallest things. And we're going to be talking about some of those small things for which many pastors get criticized. This was the result of a social media poll where they came back and told us some of the things that they had been criticized for. And we decided to make it into a top 10.
I am going to have to really restrain myself with some of these.
Why?
Because I don't know how I would restrain myself if I was a pastor and somebody told me some of these
you probably wouldn't. That's probably why God has you where He has you.
Some of these okay, I'm like, you know what, I could just roll my eyes and live with it, but a couple of these I would just,
especially if it's connected to family,
I would just want to go off on somebody.
And I have done that, and it hadn't been the best result.
Probably never is.
And if you go off too much and you need to find a church, we recommend that you go to Vanderblumen Search Group.
Yeah, Vanderblumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vanderblumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
Just a word about Vanderblumen, since I did a podcast with him yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
Vandercast, is that the name of it? Something like that.
Something like that.
It's always going to be Vander.
Just Vander somethings. So, Vanderblog, the Vandercast.
First of all, he told me that no one had come close to being the guest as much as I have been the guest. And some of that is content, but a lot of it's relational.
Yeah.
We
talk about him every time on our podcast.
Yeah. He said people come up to him and say, do you pay Rainer extra for all those things he says about you? And that,
but no, you can, will you? We're open to that.
Well, yes. They're not only doing search, they're also doing succession. That's become a new area, and they're doing coaching. Mm-hmm. And another. So Vanderblumen is just Vanderblumen. I mean, yes, they are search, but they're a lot more than that. And, haven't mentioned that in quite a while, but, they offer a whole lot of stuff. So wanted to expand the usual script just to talk about some of the other things they do.
All right. So 10 goofy criticisms of pastors. The problem is the people that are usually throwing these out there don't think they're goofy.
And I said, as a social media poll, I stand corrected. This was a Church Answers poll. I'm looking at it right now with thanks to the community of Church Answers. So
I was like, I don't remember this one going out, but it'd be fascinating to see what they think.
Okay. This one is a church. By the way,
add your thoughts at tomrainer.com on the comments for this post.
By the way, I told you last night, or texted you last night, I'm not going to get into the details. I did a Church Answer survey.
Yes.
And I did a social media survey. And about what pastors
they enjoy most
about ministry. And you can go back and look at the blog post for, I'm trying to think, a Monday.
The 15th of October?
15th of or 16th of October, I think, maybe.
No, it's Tuesday.
Okay.
It's the 15th.
15th of October, because I showed the results of that. And I also mentioned that there's a significant difference between the responses of Church Answers people and the responses of the general populace. Church Answers are really focused on leadership and vision a lot more than the general populace. That's not a qualitative statement. It's just how they responded. Hmm. And by the way, a Church Answers, one of our Church Answers community members was the one that asked me to put it out in the community.
There you go.
I was thinking it may have been Justin. Justin's one of my really active guys, but I can't remember exactly. So this was not social media. This was Church Answers. So, and we got the churchanswers.com link there if you ever want to join us and be a part of that community at a very affordable rate.
All right. Number one, I think
less than 50 cents a day, by the way.
Yeah. Well, number one, I think you can blame Brad Wagner for this one. It sounds like something he would say. You should not wear a pink shirt to the pulpit.
Brad Wagner has clothes phobia.
Yes.
Certain type of things, especially if they're pink, or if he thinks that you're wearing something that is anything less than masculine. He's always addressing Todd Atkins at Lifeway for
anything he wears.
Basically. Yeah, well, basically he says, why do you always wear your wife's clothes? And
that's so mean.
It is. You know, you can count on Brad always to address clothes.
He's a fashionista.
Yeah. 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 Look, yeah. Mr. GQ himself. I mean, he does not like pink. But really, one of the pastors at Church Answers said, I was criticized because I preached in a pink shirt.
That is crazy.
There's a theological issue behind that somehow. It means the church member does not have the fruit of the Spirit. That's a theological issue.
So that's wild. Number two, pastors are not allowed to use handheld mics.
When I saw that criticism, I actually received that criticism preaching in a church 3 or 4 years ago.
Really?
You know, sometimes I just prefer a handheld.
You like a handheld mic.
I do.
You do.
And I guess they felt like the Apostle Paul had wireless headset. And so someone said, I couldn't focus on the sermon.
Well, to be fair. There is a certain subset of Christian preachers who tend to prefer the handheld mic.
Okay.
And most of those, not all of them, but it usually leans on the prosperity gospel side.
Oh.
So when people see handheld mics.
I think I'm going to ask for some money.
They just think that it's going down that road for some reason. That it just seems to be popular with that style, that demographic of Christian preaching.
Okay. Well, I haven't preached with a handheld mic since then, but I do speak in conferences with a handheld.
Yeah, that, because if they only have single earpiece, I just tell them to just give them a handheld.
Because my head is
weird.
Your
head is weird.
My head is weird, and it's just going to come off at some point. I saw Brad Wagner.
Things that I learned with traveling with you. You have a weird shaped head.
I saw Brad Wagner preach in chapel. It may have been prior to your time there, but it's so funny. The headset had come completely off. It's hanging on his shoulder. And he didn't know it. He just kept on preaching.
Well, you
know,
there you go.
Everybody's trying to move forward to hear him just a little
turn
bit.
Turn to your right and preach that way.
But Brad had a voice that carried for the most
part.
Yes,
he does.
In there.
Yes, he does.
He whispers and wakes up half of the community.
All right. Number three, you cannot preach with power unless you wear a flag lapel pin.
That was seriously someone at Church Answers.
What
that,
flag, though?
The American flag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the American flag. And they felt like that person was denigrating our country by not wearing a lapel pin. I don't wear any kind of lapel pin.
I don't have. I say this. I have a Southern Seminary lapel pin. It was a gift.
I've never seen you wear it.
I don't wear it often. I'm not a Southern alum. And if I ever go to Southern, I would likely wear it.
Really?
On campus.
Really?
But I don't wear it.
Do you have any shirts with French cuffs?
I don't. I'd have to buy one of those if I was going to do that. I do have Southern cufflinks, too.
Oh, you also do have them. Because if you had, see, I don't have any shirts with French cuffs. I know that shocks you.
I don't either.
But I have
cufflinks that are from Southern, and a Southern tie and a Southern lapel pin.
You like collecting that kind of stuff.
I appreciate it. It's a great gift. I'm just never there, so I never wear them. It'd be weird.
Can you imagine a pastor preaching his heart out, and he steps down and said, that sermon was worthless because you didn't have a flag lapel pin?
Or any type of lapel. I mean, just that is, yep. Or a tie. If you didn't wear a tie, that sermon was worthless because you didn't wear a tie.
That's
something like that.
Go to some of my blog posts where I talk about the tie.
And I know you love a good tie.
Oh, well, some of the people who say, shouldn't we give God his finest? And I love it when some of the people come back and say, yeah, don't wear a tie.
Yeah.
As if something that wraps around your neck tightly is the finest for God. my tie issues.
All right. Send those letters to Tom at Church Answers.
Sam Rainer actually did a blog post on why he doesn't wear a tie.
Oh, really?
Many years ago. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen him in a tie. I've seen him in a coat and, you know, sports shirt. Sports coat and
He dresses nicely,
but I don't know if I've seen him in a tie. Maybe
I presume he does. I presume he wears those for funerals because he has a congregation of all generations, and so he will have funerals from time to time.
Our good friend, in bringing up Southern again, our good friend Dean and Sarah, he posted that he had like a donuts and date or whatever with his daughter at the school. Recently, mm-hmm. She's like in preschool or kindergarten, and she had made a tie, like a paper tie for him to wear. And his picture, the caption was, I only wear ties for Sally Ashland and Albert Mueller. Because he preached in chapel and at Southern a while back and wore a tie, and it was a big joke. So
yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I preached at Midwestern, and I actually went to Jason and said, Jason, please, Dr. Allen, the president, I said, please, is it okay? if I come to Midwestern and don't wear a tie, sure, sure. So I don't know if he's acquiescing to the lower life or not, but I didn't wear a tie and I was grateful.
All right, number five. All right, number four. This is one that you've heard.
Yes.
There are too many new Christians in our church.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This was the lady who not only said that, but also said that God had told her, I'm supposed to leave the church as a result. That was the same conversation. Huh. I almost want to say her name. It was a double name at the front, but I'm not. See?
She's from Alabama. Got to be double names.
We want Nellie Jo.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, that happened in 1993, I think.
And you still remember it 25 years later.
Yes, 25 years later, I still remember the sting of that moment. So all of us can run our mouths at times. I've been guilty of that when people have said, you know, you said this so many years ago and it was really painful. Think about what you're saying, especially to pastors who are the recipient of these barbs so many times. Please think about it.
All right, number five, you don't trust God since you go to board meetings? I don't.
Okay, the context behind this one, if I recall from the Church Answers community person, was that you're going to the board meetings to try to control things. You're in there to manipulate your power.
So let the board run the church like we need to, and you just trust God that we'll do it right.
Exactly.
Instead of you coming and being involved in leading the church as the pastor.
Exactly. So when you start displaying authority or being in a
leadership
in a place where other people are making decisions, you're showing. After all, We just called you to preach and to take care of the church.
Not member. To shepherd the church like, you know.
A leader.
You're called to in Scripture.
Yeah. I'm going to go down a path for just a moment. think about the metaphor of a shepherd. The shepherd does care for the sheep, but he is constantly leading the sheep. The sheep will go astray if they are not led. They have to be led carefully. Many times we think of shepherds as just someone who is providing pastoral care and comfort.
Sometimes you got to use the staff and the rod.
Oh.
And this guy needed the rod.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes. And I don't know if the criticism, I don't remember the gender. So
yeah,
it could have come from anyone.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, in this point, sometimes that is an issue with controlling and trying to do that. So it's possible that this could have come out. And a lot of times these criticisms are not as much the current person that's receiving them doing.
It's about a
it's
former
It's something
pastor.
That is done from former.
Yes.
That is being pushed out onto you.
Exactly. Exactly. The reaction to the problem.
Yep. All right, number six, the Holy Spirit cannot use you if you plan your sermons ahead of time.
Yeah, honestly, why would I say honestly? That implied that the rest of the time is lying. frankly, I have heard this in the... I would say the more informal evangelical tradition, that would be like Baptist, Assembly of God, okay. Church of God.
So not high church type stuff.
Yeah, the lower church tradition.
Well, the ones that don't use the liturgical calendar.
Yeah, and if they find in some of these churches, and it was common more in the 90s and 80s than it is today, but if they find out that the pastor has planned sermons, this was the context. I do remember it now. The pastor said he was going to take off for 2 weeks to go plan a quarter's worth of sermons. And he told the church that. And this person came up to him and said, you just need to let the Holy Spirit speak to you when you're preaching. Of course, he gave the common answer. Well, the Holy Spirit can speak to me while I'm on retreat doing the sermon preparation too.
It doesn't have to be Saturday night at like 8:30.
These people are talking about Sunday morning spontaneity.
Oh boy. No.
So the whole idea is being used by the Holy Spirit equals spontaneity more than preparation.
Now, and that is possible. That does happen.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I've talked to pastors, and you've probably had it happen in your own life where you had kind of an outline, and you get into the sermon, and it just goes a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen.
It does happen.
But that doesn't mean that you
didn't prepare ahead of time.
Yes.
You heard me do a sermon in Virginia, you said.
Yes.
Where I went up with one type of...
You were building the plane while you were flying it.
Okay. Is the Holy Spirit leading me in a more spontaneous way?
Yes. And I was impressed because it was fantastic to watch because I knew what was going on and nobody else did. Everybody else thought it was planned out. And I was like, this ain't the sermon he had. Well, but it was amazing.
But you knew the context. Yes. We don't have to
and
get
it. And it worked.
The sermon that I had would not have been the right sermon.
Yes. And the Holy Spirit moved and you followed it and it was a fantastic sermon.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm not just saying that because it worked for you.
No, thank you.
All right. Number 7. You're lazy since we sang consecutive hymns from the hymnal.
Yeah, this
to a music guy.
Yeah, this is to a worship leader. We have some worship leaders. By the way, we have different levels at Church Answers, and the one where I am most involved,
the
day
platinum.
By day, is the platinum mm-hmm. level. We got our first worship leader at platinum.
Mm-hmm.
He is really smart. Good. He is. I'm not going to say his name. Because I don't have permission to, but he listens to all of these podcasts. He knows I'm talking about him. He is just really, really smart. And he was not the recipient of this criticism.
Uh-huh.
But the worship leader at Church Answers, who is the recipient of this criticism, he likes to do sequential hymns. He's a traditionalist. He uh-huh. likes to do sequential hymns because they have themes to them.
Yeah. In the hymnal, they're usually grouped by thematic references or things like that. So, if you're wanting two hymns on mercy,
yes,
they're usually near each other. I mean, like all the Christmas hymns are together, all the invitation hymns are together, all the that's how the hymns laid out. The hymnals yes. laid out. So yeah.
You would think that that person would be happy that he's using a hymnal.
Yeah.
If he's a traditionalist, but he's being
using the hymnal is not enough. You've got to use parts of the hymnal every week.
Jump around. All you do is say pages 241, 242, 243, and that's because you're lazy. Instead of no, there's some serious.
There's a plan. There's a method to the madness here.
Yes, but that was the context of that criticism.
All right, number 8. A pastor should not have a dog as a pet.
I have no idea. I don't even remember this one, except the fact that I wrote it down. It happened.
Because it was so strange.
Yes. I mean, if someone told me that I had to get rid of Marley.
You'd be cool with that.
Well, depends on how I had to get rid of it. Marley and I are buds. Yeah. Marley and I are buds. But if someone told me I had to, no. That would not go over well. Yeah. By the way, I told you about someone that a friend of yours on Facebook, I won't give the name. The reason I happened to see him is because he had a video that just popped up on my feed about him giving a surprise gift to his wife, a dog. It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute. So mm-hmm. do you know who I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay.
I do.
So we don't have to.
They love that dog. So.
Okay. I wonder when that video was done.
A couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So I don't understand pastor restrictions for pets or pet restrictions for pastors, I guess.
I wonder if it's financial.
Yeah.
You shouldn't drive that car. You shouldn't have a pet.
That's entirely possible.
You
shouldn't buy that house.
Yeah.
Shouldn't wear those kind of.
We're paying you too much if you can afford these kind of things. So, we do hear that a lot.
Yes. And it just frustrates me. All right. Yes. But nothing like number 9 and 10. Your wife should work no more than 15 hours a week outside the home.
Not only is the criticism about a working wife, there is a precision to the number of hours.
Yes.
I am sure that this critic has spent deep amount of times in scripture researching the word to come up with the limit is 15 hours. Again, this one would not sit well with me.
Nor Nellie Jo.
Ooh, yes, yes.
That's like one day of painting for her.
It kind of
really is.
She can begin at 6 and end at 10. So that's
16 hours right
there. 16 hours. And I said, how do you do that? She says, I don't know.
And she just gets she gets in the zone, man.
She is just in a total zone. Love her. She's so gifted in that way. Yeah, yeah. But obviously someone got this word and it was not a very fun word for them to get.
And then the piece de resistance.
Oh.
Your wife should not be pregnant. I'm sure that there's also been the your wife should be pregnant criticism
as
well.
This one I remember because it was financial. This was child number 4.
Ain't nothing wrong with 4 kids.
I know. I've
got them.
You love your girl. You can't imagine.
I can't.
A life
I
without
really
her.
Can't.
So, what a gift from God. And for someone to say, you can't, what they were saying is you can't afford 4 kids. What do you think you're doing? Your wife should not be pregnant. I mean, oh my gosh! I know you and I are both clenching fists right now, grating teeth, and
squeezing the desk. Like I would shake this person Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of my weak points among many is not when someone attacks me, but when they attack my family, either through me or to them directly. And this one just would not have, oh, gosh, I would not have done well with this one at all.
No.
Fortunately for us, we had our third kid when I was still at my first church, First Merle, because I was a
really?
late. Yeah, Jess was born.
That's right.
While we were at First Merle, so no one told us we couldn't have any more babies. So we added significantly to the
growing the church
with our three sons that are there. These are some of many, Jonathan. They're not exhaustive by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a reminder of some of the crazy stuff pastors and staff have to put up with.
Yeah, so add yours on the post at tomrainer.com, and we'll pick a couple and give away some books.
Yeah.
And I'll send you a free copy of the newest from Tom Rainer, Scrappy Church.
Scrappy Church, that's good. And how do you avoid these criticisms? You don't, but if you really want to be prepared in ministry to handle them well, you go to Midwestern Seminary.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Get their 81-hour MDiv. It's the primary track for ministry preparation and offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, giving you everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. Start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv. You can also, they've got, you know, DMIN programs, the PhD program. They have a residential PhD program that they just started. Owen Strain is leading that. So a lot of things going on up there at Midwestern and Spurgeon College.
Yes.
Don't forget the name change there, Spurgeon College. So undergraduate as well at Midwestern.
Well, these criticisms are emblematic of what many pastors receive. A question was asked of me by a layperson at a speaking engagement about 2 or 3 months ago. Why do you write things like this that could be divisive, you know, about bad things that happen in churches? Because for a long time, people were not talking about them.
Yeah. And they were a lot of lay people don't know this happened.
Yep. And matter of fact, I'm thinking of one church member at my son's church in Bradenton, Florida. Love her. Just love her. And she listens to the podcast. You know who I'm talking about if you're listening to me right now. She listens to the podcast. She reads the blogs and she says, thank you for letting me know what our pastors and staff have to go through.
Yeah.
That's why we do those. It doesn't mean they're all going to be negative, but you cannot change unless you know there's something you need to change. And that's why we bring that out.
That's right. All right. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.